Ever notice that you kind of lose yourself in the rhythm of a good walk? You know, like your favorite song is playing, the sun's on your face, and for a minute, it's just pure, effortless movement.
It's the feeling I think most of us, yeah, we take for granted, but there's this whole intricate symphony of brain signals and muscle movements happening with every single step we take.
And that's what makes this deep dive so fascinating.
Yeah.
You've sent us a stack of studies and research all about, get this, gait entrainment, basically, how we can help people walk better, especially those facing movement disorders.
Absolutely. We're talking about conditions like Parkinson's, cerebral palsy, multiple sclerosis, all situations where movement can be a real challenge, you know?
And you want to know how simple cues, like sounds or images, can actually make a difference. Okay, so let's unpack that. Our sources dive into two main types of cues, visual and auditory.
And right away, it's crucial to distinguish between two systems, open loop and closed loop. It sounds technical, but it's really easier than you think.
Jargon-free zone here. Give it to
Yeah.
me straight.
Okay, imagine driving a car while staring at your phone, right? Your inner ear is sensing motion, but your eyes are glued to a stationary object recipe for nausea, right? Open loop gait systems can have a similar effect.
Whoa, okay, so like conflicting information is a no-go. Makes sense why our research highlights closed loop systems as the way to go.
Exactly. Closed loop systems provide feedback that responds to the user's movement in real time. It's like the difference between that car ride and using a navigation app that guides you along the way, you know?
Speaking of guidance, one thing that jumped out from the research was the GaitAid Virtual Walker. It creates that closed loop experience without needing like a whole VR setup, right?
Right. Think of it like this. The GaitAid projects an image of a tiled floor directly onto the user's vision using special glasses.
So they're walking down a hallway, say, but they see this virtual tile floor too.
Exactly. And here's the cool part. Those virtual tiles move in sync with the person's steps. Sensors track their gait, creating the experience of walking on a real tiled floor virtually.
You know, that reminds me of, you know, that book and movie Awakenings. A doctor noticed this same phenomenon where patients with movement disorders showed improvement walking on like real tiled floors.
It's amazing how our brains latch on to those visual cues. Those tiles create a predictable flow, each step aligning with the next.
But trip on a crack in the sidewalk, you know, that flow's disrupted, and your brain instantly knows something's off adjust course.
Precisely. The brain seeks those visual landmarks, and any deviation triggers a correction. This visual feedback is even, you could say, more crucial for individuals whose internal movement control isn't functioning optimally.
So it's like having a co-pilot in your brain
Yeah.
helping you navigate those everyday movements and avoid stumbles.
And visual cues are just the beginning. Auditory cues add a whole other layer of complexity to gait entrainment.
Auditory cues, huh? So like using sound to help people walk. That's thinking outside the box.
Yeah, it might sound a little unexpected, but research shows that even something as basic as like a clicking sound timed with each step can really significantly impact gait.
Hold on, like a metronome for your feet. Tell me more.
You could say that. One study we dug into focused on patients with multiple sclerosis, a condition that often affects balance and coordination, right? The researchers found that using a device that provided this auditory feedback, those timed clicks, actually helped patients walk faster and with longer strides.
Wow, no kidding. That's remarkable. But just like with the visual cues, I'm guessing it matters how that sound is, you know, delivered, right? It's not just about blasting a generic beat.
You're spot on. Again, that closed loop system is really critical. Those clicks need to respond to the patient's actual steps, not just like play on a loop, you know? It's about providing real-time feedback, not a pre-recorded track.
So it's less about like giving a beat to follow and more about giving the brain real-time data on its own, you know, movements, kind of like a feedback loop.
Exactly. When we walk, we usually have an internal sense of rhythm and pace, right? But for someone with a movement disorder, that internal compass can be disrupted. These synchronized clicks become an external reference point, providing that extra bit of information the brain needs to fine-tune those movements.
Like a gentle nudge in the right direction, you know, reminding the brain of its own capabilities.
And it's not even just about passively reacting to a sound either. The auditory feedback actually seems to increase the walker's awareness of their own gait, You know what I mean? It encourages them to consciously adjust and self-correct, almost like they're fine-tuning a musical instrument or something.
Fascinating. So you're not just like overriding the brain systems, you're working with them, giving them the tools to learn and adapt.
And that brings us to a really exciting aspect of gait entrainment, the connection to dopamine and the brain's reward system.
Wait, dopamine? You mean the feel-good chemical? I didn't realize walking could give you a dopamine rush.
Yeah, it's true. The research suggests that gait entrainment, particularly with those, autonomy boosting closed loop systems, might be tapping into the same brain pathways activated when we experience like pleasure or reward.
So you're saying that by using these cues, walking could actually become more enjoyable for the brain, like more intrinsically motivating.
That's what the research is pointing towards. And get this, even when the brain's dopamine system isn't functioning at 100%, prior learning and reward-seeking behavior can still drive improvement.
Okay, now I need an example because you've officially blown my mind. How are they measuring this?
Well, one study found that switching from one-dimensional lines on the ground to two-dimensional checkerboard tiles, led to significantly greater improvement in gait. Just changing the visual pattern had a huge effect.
Wow, seriously. But why would a checkerboard pattern make such a difference?
The study authors believe it's about novelty and vigilance. The checkerboard is more complex, requiring more attention and active engagement from the walker, right? That extra effort might trigger a stronger dopamine response, making the activity more rewarding for the brain.
So we're not just talking about making walking easier. We're talking about making like more engaging, tapping into the brain's natural reward system. If it works for walking, could we hack the system to find like more mundane activities rewarding?
It's a fascinating question, and it brings up a really important point, the human element in all of this. We can't forget that we're dealing with complex individuals, not just brains and bodies.
Meaning it's not just about the tech itself, there's more to the story.
Exactly. The research really drives home the point that how someone responds to these therapies varies dramatically. It depends on the specific disorder, its severity, the person's age, their mental state, even their education level. There's no one size fits all solution.
It's a good reminder that we're talking about real people with unique experiences and circumstances.
Absolutely. One study we looked at focused on children with cerebral palsy. Researchers found that younger children and those who already had better walking ability tended to respond better to visual and auditory feedback.
So many factors at play.
Yeah.
What does all of this tell us about the bigger picture of how our brains work? It's kind of wild when you think about it, all the different elements at play,
Yeah.
like how our brains, our bodies, and even our environments are all like intertwined.
Yeah, it really highlights the complexity of human movement for sure. It's something we often just totally take for granted, at least until it's disrupted somehow.
It reminds me of like those really intricate clock mechanisms, all those tiny gears and springs working together to just create this seamless flow of time. Gait entrainment kind of feels like that to me, these subtle adjustments, but with the potential for a really big impact.
Yeah, I like that analogy. And just like with, a complex clock, really understanding the individual components helps us appreciate that bigger picture.
Totally.
Oh,
So
yeah.
let's recap what we've learned about those components. We talked about the difference between open loop and closed loop systems and why that real-time feedback is so crucial.
Right, exactly. It's not just about like giving the brain more information. It's about giving it the right information at the right time.
And we dove into how both visual and auditory cues can provide that really targeted feedback, helping the brain kind of relearn those essential movement patterns.
Visual cues like that tiled floor, right, providing a clear path and instant feedback when something's off. And then auditory cues, those perfectly timed clicks, working almost like a gentle guide to keep those steps in sync.
But for me, the biggest like aha moment was that connection to dopamine. The
Yeah.
idea that we can actually make walking something we often see as just a means to an end, like, more intrinsically rewarding for the brain. It's like
Yeah.
finding the fun in something you have to do anyway.
Exactly. And that opens up so many fascinating possibilities. If we can achieve those kinds of results with walking, what other areas could we apply this to, right?
It's like we're just scratching the surface of what we can do by understanding these fundamental brain mechanisms.
It makes you wonder, like, could we use similar approaches to help people learn new skills faster, to make rehabilitation more engaging, maybe even to boost creativity in artistic fields?
The possibilities are incredibly exciting. It's almost like gait entrainment is giving us this glimpse into the future of how we might enhance human potential, like,
yeah,
across the board.
And it all starts with, you know, understanding the power of those simple cues, those tiny nudges that can have this ripple effect on the brain and the body.
So if you're listening to this, think about how incredible it is that something is as simple as a sound or an image can help, you know, retrain the brain and unlock new possibilities for movement. Who knows? Maybe someday we'll all be walking a little taller, a little more confidently, you know, thanks to the magic of gait entrainment. Mm-hmm.